Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win today. They're singing, go Cubs, go! Go Cubs, go!
You can't live in Chicago and not know who Ron Santo was, or in fact, have been a baseball fan and not know of Ron Santo, the great Chicago Cub who lived with his heart on his sleeve on one arm and on the other the Chicago Cubs, I believe. Vicky Santo is here. Hi, Vicky.
How are you, Steve?
I love talking to you always. You sound so always so upbeat and cheerful.
You. It's good to talk to you.
And you have a lot to be cheerful about now. So sometime after Ron passed, you began the Ron and Vicky Santo Diabetic Alert Dog Foundation. What gave you the idea that this is what I want to do with Ron's legacy?
Well, Ron was always very conscious and concerned for young children with diabetes. And whenever they were diagnosed, and if people would call him, he would even sit down with these children and say, look, you have to own this. It doesn't go away. And you can manage it. But he would say to me, I feel so sorry for not only the children, but the parents who every 2 hours are waking the child at night to test their sugars. And a lot of these children, especially when they're first diagnosed, don't know what's wrong with them. They just know they don't feel well. And so I was inspired after he passed because I thought, well, it was weird how I even found out that about these dogs, that they could do this. And I was in a Best Buy with my new dog, Joker. The dog that I had when Ron was alive passed away 6 weeks after Ron did. And Joker would come and get me when Ron had a low sugar.
Well, I want to talk about that. So I was going to, in fact, just ask you about that. The two stories I wanted you to tell. And I want you to tell them in the reverse order, because the very first story indicates that, all right, maybe from day one you're not bonding with the dog. And this is a story that I'm going to let you pick up on. I know you know the story probably better than I do. So I'm on the air at the time in the evenings, either Saturday or Sunday night. I'm taking phone calls on WGN. I'm just going down the list. Hi, Gloria, you're on the air. Oh, my cat's missing the litter box. What do I do? So I answer her question. Then the next one, hey, Ron, you're on the air. And as Ron begins to tell me my dog doesn't like me, I recognize the voice. How can you not? And I say, you're Ron Santo. And he said, I know that. I said, well, why didn't you call in on the private line? He said, never mind that. I just want to talk about my dog who doesn't like me. I said, everyone loves Ron Santo. How can your dog not like you? And I will let you pick up the story from there.
Well, the dog that we had at the time, Joker, was an Australian Shepherd. And some of them are very sensitive dogs, as was Joker. And so Ron, being such a big presence, if you were ever around him, I mean, you just knew he was in the room. And Joker he was just timid, and he would come over and always sit next to me or whatever. And so Ron, he was like, why doesn't this dog like me? So when he called you and you said to him, well, Ron, you know, you're a very emotional guy. And I think it was around the years that the Cubs weren't doing that well.
Now, there were a few of those years, yes.
Game after game after game. And so he would come home, and he'd be emotional because they lost. And so your suggestion to him was to, probably, Ron, when you get home, just take a glass of wine and go into your closet until you calm down and let all that negative energy go. Well, Ron's comment to me, he said, can you imagine him telling me to go in a closet? And I go, well, it doesn't sound like a bad idea. But anyway, as time went on, Joker did bond with Ron, and he would sit, especially when he went through cancer at the very end, Joker would sit next to him and just put his foot up on his knee while we were waiting to get the diagnosis of, did he have to have chemotherapy? And Ron just looked at me, and he goes, he knows. And I said, I know he knows. But it doesn't mean that we can't do chemotherapy. So it was just, these dogs are so tuned in to the emotions and to the chemicals of a person's body.
Well,
it gives me chills. When I tell you that story, it just gives me chills.
Yeah, and you told me one story about how on at least one occasion, and maybe it had happened more than once, I don't know, Vicky, that you were just in the kitchen doing what you do, And then the dog came running in. It might have been a Lassie episode.
Right. Well, he comes in and he's dancing around. And I'm looking at him like, what's wrong with you? Do you have to go out? And I take him to the door. He doesn't go out. I go, Joker, what's wrong with you? He goes back to the bedroom. And Ron was in the bedroom. He had the two prosthetics at the time, but he's in bed without his prosthetics on. And his sugars were so low that he didn't know where he was. He didn't know who he was. And I'm like, oh, my God, okay. And then, you know, I mean, after time and time and time of having to take care of this, I got him his juice. We get him back to, you know, his normal sugars. But that was the first time that the dog did that. And I went, that's incredible. And it didn't, you know, it didn't even dawn on me till months afterwards what the dog had done. So after Ron passed, a Joker had to be put down because he had bladder cancer. Or kidney failure, I'm sorry. I went and got a rescue, and I was training the rescue to do the service dog things, and a boy that was waiting on me said, isn't it cool how these dogs can determine a high blood sugar and a low blood sugar? I went, excuse me? He said, yeah, my mom trains for them, and that's what I called the JDRF in New York. I go, why haven't we heard about this? And, of course, they're focused on finding a cure. And I said, well, I need to focus on helping the people that are living with this disease while we find the cure. And that's what inspired the start of the foundation.
That story is the best, Vicki, because you've taken what you know and what you figured out and said, I'm going to do something good here. And you have. How many dogs have been placed?
Well, we have 20 in the 4 year. We're in our fourth year, and we have 28 dogs. We're placing, six of them are being delivered on the 17th of August, next week. And so we will have 22 that have already been delivered. And then the rest that we have, we have the puppies now. And then as funding comes in, we get more puppies, and then, we keep moving.
It's a matter of funding, you know. So it's the Ron and Vicki Santo Diabetic Alert Dog Foundation. Please help this organization because lives – am I exaggerating when I say lives are actually saved?
You are not exaggerating. We have cases where we've given dogs to an older lady who lives alone, and she was having to call the paramedics 3 to 4 to 5 times a year where they would have to take her to the ER. Since she's had her dogs, she's not had to go to the emergency room at all.
And one thing I learned from you, the more your blood sugar crashes or explodes, and those are not technical terms,
right.
The more cumulative damage that's done over time, right. Keeping that at an even keel is best for your long-term health.
Exactly. That's absolutely true. Absolutely true. And you know what the long-term complications can be. Ron suffered those. You know, when Ron first was diagnosed with diabetes, they didn't have a glucometer. When I met him, when we first started out, they didn't have glucometers. And he'd go, well, I'm high or I'm low, and, you know, I know by the way I feel. Well, can you imagine in these days, you know, the technology is so advanced and not, but these dogs can pick up the changes sometimes 20 minutes before your glucometer will pick it up.
Wow.
So that's what's kind of interesting. I mean, they'll alert, and then somebody will say, well, I checked, and I'm 95. And she said, yeah, well, check again in 10 minutes, and they'll be down to 60. You know, that's how quick these dogs pick it up.
And what I'm amazed, which would figure given what I do, is as to how these dogs are trained. And they're trained in two ways. Number one, they must go out, they're service dogs. So they must be socialized to go anywhere and be accustomed to loud, unexpected noises, to be accepting of other dogs that they meet on the street. All of that stuff, combined with the fact that they must be trained to detect these changes in blood sugar. How does that happen?
Well, when we accept an applicant, we send a separate contract and we ask them, okay, where do you live? Are you in an apartment? Are you in a home with a fenced yard? What activities does your child do? If they're in band, if they're in basketball or baseball, whatever they do, Julie then takes these dogs to those situations. So our training facility is close to a high school, And if they, you know, obviously all these kids are going to be going to school, so she'll take the dogs to school and walk through the, you know, and she had, when her kids were in school, they would take the dog with. And her son said, "This is like a chick magnet, Mom." I walked through the halls, and he says, "You can't imagine how many girls are talking to me." So it's kind of cool. But anyway, so she puts them in every situation that they're going to be in. And when we deliver the dogs, she goes to their home. She goes with the kids to school, to basketball, whatever their activities are. She goes so that not only the child is used to it, but the teachers and everybody that works with these dogs, or, you know, with the children that own these dogs, know exactly what to do.
Now, the trainer you're talking about is Julie, right?
Yes, yes.
Let's give her a shout-out because, I mean, she is quite incredible. She's donated or devoted much of her life to this.
Her entire life. And, you know, people have no idea. She works 24/7, and I'm not kidding when I say that, because at night, she'll have certain dogs. They rotate, and then, you know, they all live in the house with her, but they rotate into her bedroom, and they'll have a scent that will be pushed into the room in the middle of the night. It's on a timer, and then she'll check, and that's how we know that they will alert at night, because even though the dog is sleeping, that scent will wake them up, and they'll alert.
Amazing.
So she works. I mean, I don't know anybody that could keep up with her. She works so hard.
All right, so Julie gets paid some, and she ought to. She ought to get paid more than some. And in addition to that, of course, you have to pay for the dogs. So to train one dog to go into a home, before it goes into that home, how much money are we talking about?
We're talking about $18,000.
Per dog?
Per dog.
And this is why we need your help. And actually, the truth is, $18,000 is cheaper, if you will, than some other organizations, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know how you're doing $18,000, but I'm glad that's all it is. But on the other hand, I'm guessing, Vicki, the more money, the more resources, the more dogs you can place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't want, you know, I've said to Julie, you work so hard, I feel like we should, but we don't want to raise her. She goes, no, I'm perfectly fine with it. She's such a giving soul. It's incredible. She's like, that's fine. I can do this, you know, and we have a facility now in Colorado where she has all the dogs with her in her house, and she said, I'll be able to do such a much better job because they're with me all the time. They have crates, but there's no kennel situation where mm-hmm. they're put in a kennel and the lights go out overnight and then we see them in the morning. They're integrated into her home and lifestyle because that's what they're going to do when they get placed with the diabetics.
All right, and there's going to be a big event, so you could be listening to this podcast anytime, but if you happen to be listening before what dates?
August 31st to September 3rd, Ferguson Jenkins will be signing memorabilia at Wrigley Field in the concourse with all the funds going to the Ron and Vicki Santo Diabetic Alert Dog Foundation.
And you do this every year.
We do this every year, and one day, which is usually the Saturday, and it will be again, we have one of our kids go down on the field with her dog and throw out the first pitch.
Which has got to be the coolest feeling in the world.
Oh,
not
for sure. Especially when they just get, the girl that's going to throw it out this year is a softball player. And I said, by the way, Jasmine, I know you're not getting your dog till the middle of August, but how would you be willing to throw out the first pitch? I mean, you can only imagine their reaction. Like, never did they ever think of anything like that.
Yeah, I threw out the first pitch on the south side once, and I'd rather not tell you what happened. I'm sure she can do a better job. Actually, I did get at the home plate. It was okay.
Yeah.
I was honored to do that. But I will tell you, what you're doing here is more than wonderful. And as I said, it is life-saving. But as I also said, cannot be done without help. So it's resources, it's money, in plain English, that really makes the difference. It allows you to place more dogs with more often kids, and this is life-changing not only for the child, but the entire family and extended family, as you've talked about, Vicki.
Can I just tell you one thing, too?
Sure.
If you have a donor that is willing to donate the $18,000 for the dog, we have them name the dog, and then for whoever, it's for somebody in their family or dog, whatever their name is, it's fine. And then we have the child, when they get the dog, write a letter through the foundation that goes to the donor and lets them know what they can do now that they could never do before, now that they have their dog. And we keep them in, you know, the one boy that just graduated, and they allowed the dog to go grad. The dog had a cap and gown on, too. And I sent a picture to the woman that donated the funds for that dog. So you stay in touch. We keep in touch with the donors and the children that are getting the dogs. And I just think it really feels good to know that your money went somewhere and you know where it went and what good it's doing.
Absolutely. So how can people, whether they donate $18,000 or $8, I'm sure you'll take either one.
Absolutely.
Where can people do that?
Well, they can go to the website, the Ron Santo Foundation, and there's a you can donate through there, but if they're wanting to donate a large amount, they could just write the check and send it to the foundation email or a foundation post office box.
Well, and there's an email there, too, as well.
Correct.
On your website.
Yes,
so,
yes.
All right, Vicky Santo, you know, for a very long time, I would say when I would talk to you, and I talked to you frequently over the years, Chicago just wants to hug you because we remember Ron so with great fondness. But now I say it a little differently. I think that's still true, of course, but for all the work you've done as well. So feel my embrace and the entire city of Chicago with gratitude.
Oh, Steve, thank you so much. I appreciate everything you do for us.
Well, it's my pleasure. Vicky Santo, Ron and Vicky Santo Diabetic Alert Dog Foundation, thank you.